If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. You're on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. It is our waiver wire Wednesday, so we're going to tackle all the players you should be picking up in fantasy football for the upcoming week as we approach the fantasy football playoffs. Great to be with you here as we also preview the NBA slate tonight, go over some college basketball, no doubt, and some hot stove in Major League Baseball actually happening today. So Davis and I will spend a few minutes on that. Great to be with you, Davis. What's going on?
Well, pretty important week for the waiver wire in fantasy football. I guess sort of depending on league size, you know, 12-team leagues and stuff, you know, 16-man roster spots. You got Rashad White out there, Christian Watson out there, a lot, I think, to get excited about, you know, deeper formats. I'm, like, sitting here picking over, you know, Keyshawn Vaughn and Samari Torre. Not as fun. Got a cool trade in baseball. Always love to see a non-major market, you know, make a win now move. I kind of generally always appreciate that in Major League Baseball. And we are 6 days away from the start of the World Cup. So just there's a lot going on here.
A lot to absorb, that's for sure. So let's get to our headlines here on the show. Start off with some college hoops. No coach, no problem, as Kansas beats Duke 69-64 yesterday. Michigan State also knocks off number 4 Kentucky in double overtime. College football standings remain the same. Probably going to remain the same, I would think, after this week, too. Especially Georgia, huge favorite over Kentucky this week. And over in baseball, we're getting some little percolating news here. Not like you usually get in the NBA or NFL. This is a slow process for baseball. But Anthony Rizzo signs a multi-year deal. He's back with the Yankees, as Davis also alluded to. The Mariners and Blue Jays have made a trade, Davis, and Teoscar Hernandez is going from Toronto to Seattle. One of the players going back from Seattle to Toronto is going to be Eric Swanson, who I think could potentially pitch the eighth inning or ninth inning if needed. Swanson's been around the league for a number of different teams, but this is Seattle trying to boost up their offense a little bit. We know that they sort of built their season last year on pitching and Julio Rodriguez. I guess the odd man out here, and especially in fantasy in a dynasty league. Remember that season Jesse Winker had a couple of years ago in Cincinnati, and then Seattle got a hold of him. And I'm guessing he's probably on the way out in Seattle too. But a good trade, I would think, for Seattle, boosting their offense, that's for sure.
Yeah, 10 times out of 10, I think you do this deal as the Seattle Mariners. Now, Teoscar was down from his peaks. You know, he was a 341 weighted on base average guy after being a 381 on base average guy the year before, but clearly I think a positive win now move. They're essentially, they are just giving up the rights to these guys who are not going to be super consequential Major League Baseball players for the rights to pay Teoscar his contract. I mean, that really comes down to it at the end of the day. I'm pretty interested to see what the Blue Jays do here, because their offense is pretty good, but their offense is pretty good with a really bad bottom of the order. If you look at some of the guys who are batting 6, 7, 8, 9 for the Blue Jays last year, we're talking, you know, Santiago Espinal, Kevon Biggio, who, you know, despite having a really cool name and a really cool baseball lineage, is not an above average hitter at the Major League Baseball level. Danny Jansen, not an above average Major League hitter. And they were playing him and Kirk together last year, Kirk DHing, Danny Jansen catching. So I got to think they're making a move. And I would assume their move is going to be for a guy who can play the outfield. Because wouldn't you also assume that over the long run, the plan is to not play Vlad in the field and have him be the designated hitter? That just seems like it would make more sense. But maybe Kirk is a horrible defensive catcher. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Vlad was awesome at first last year, but we'll see. I think the other thing, too, that's interesting, we talked about this when we did DFS all last year. When the Blue Jays faced a left-handed pitcher, you played the Blue Jays in DFS. When they faced a righty, you had to think about it. They've been chasing left-handed hitters, Davis, for 2 years. They have none on their whole team. They need to get some left-handed hitters. So who will that be? I mean, will they trade for Brian Reynolds in Pittsburgh? I mean, I don't know, but you're right. I think the Blue Jays are far from done, and they're going to get a lefty masher. I don't know who that is going to end up being. But back to the fantasy football waiver wire. You're right, Davis. We do have to make some big moves this week. I also have to make some big moves, too, so this is going to help me a lot. I can only imagine that every fantasy team out there with Cooper Kupp is sort of looking at this Rams situation, and I am too, going, wait a second here. Like, look back from last year. No Odell Beckham Jr., no Cooper Kupp, no Robert Woods. I would assume Stafford's going to throw 15 more touchdowns this year, so I wonder who they'll end up going to.
I would not make that assumption that Matt Stafford is going to throw 15 more touchdowns this 15? Year. The Los Angeles Rams are dead last in the NFL. No one's worse than them in yards per play. Matt Stafford has 2 passing touchdowns to players not named Cooper Kupp. I would definitely take the under on 15 if you offered that. I think you can pick up Skowronek. I think you can pick up Van Jefferson. Honestly, to me, the biggest beneficiaries are probably going to be Tyler Higbee in the running backs. Feels like they're just going to throw a lot more to the running backs now, as opposed to, you know, force feeding Ben Skowronek.
7 games left in the season. Am I right by that? Is there still 7 games left?
Yeah. No chance on 15. No chance.
15?
No chance.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Game?
I would give you odds on that. I would give you like -130 on that. There's no way.
Oh, thanks. -130. Appreciate it. I'm looking for plus on that if that's the case.
No, I'm saying I would take the bad price.
I gotcha. 15 touchdowns. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's a little high. And if he's hurt, I don't know. That's a possibility. All right. Waiver wire. We'll hit that coming up next. You will not see Stafford's name on this list. We'll find some players for you to pick up this week. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
time to hit the waiver wire in fantasy football upcoming for week 11 as we take a look at some potential players that you may need because some players are on bye weeks this week. Davis and I get a run through this for you. Also, check out all this info in terms of daily fantasy over at dailyroto.com. Davis, let's take a look here at the possible quarterbacks that you may have to start that could be sitting out there on the waiver wire, 12-team leagues, and deeper. All right, we'll start off with Matt Ryan of the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think he's going to run for 40 yards again, but he does play against the Philadelphia Eagles this week. Taylor Heinicke goes up against Houston. They are favored in that game. Deshaun Watson makes his weekly appearance. Again, if he's in a fantasy league at this point and unowned, I think you got to grab him. And I don't know. Ryan Tannehill plays up against Green Bay. Boy, if you would have told me that Tannehill would be on this list after watching the first half of last week's game between Tennessee and Denver, I would have said, wow, the Tannehill era is over. But he did sort of rally there in the second half. Tenuous situation because the Titans are going to make the playoffs and they're obviously playing good. It's just sort of, it's hard to say in spite of Tannehill. It's just he just hasn't looked great this year.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is 34 years old, a guy who has always kind of relied on his mobility and is now playing through an ankle injury as a 34-year-old. You just kind of have to assume that that at that stage he's not going to play that well. Now, obviously, they are going to pretty much cakewalk to win this division, assuming that I don't have the schedule up right now, but assuming the next time they play Indianapolis that they win that game, I mean, they could pretty much just have like a traveling circus play instead of their starting roster and end up winning that division. The AFC South, just the real joker of a division in the NFL. As far as streamers go this week, I think you got to go with Taylor Heinicke against Houston. You're pretty much looking at like 230 passing yards, roughly a chance of a touchdown. Maybe he adds, 20 rushing yards or whatever. I would not use Matt Ryan against Philadelphia. I think they are just going to run the air out of the ball. We saw in that game between the football team and the Eagles, the Eagles pretty susceptible to having the ball run on them, not that susceptible to the passing game. And again, I mean, we said this a bunch of weeks in a row, but if you're still paying attention to your fantasy football team, probably means it's a good fantasy football team, probably means you're going to make the playoffs. I'm stashing Deshaun Watson in all those scenarios.
All right, let's take a look at the running backs now. Obviously, Rashad White is on a bye, but from all reporters who expected to be back this week and play for them against Carolina, Isaiah Pacheco may be still available in your fantasy league against the Chargers. And then Jaylen Warren, who's looked really good for Pittsburgh, could be a nice dynasty play, I think, for the future for Warren. He's actually looked probably better than Najee Harris, but I don't know. Is Pittsburgh really willing to go that far away from Najee? I guess we'll find out soon.
So last week we saw 37 snaps for Jaylen Warren. Now that sounds like a lot, but the Pittsburgh Steelers did run over 80 plays on offense. Jaylen Warren ran more routes in the passing game than Najee Harris. I mean, at this point, I would slightly rather have Najee Harris because he gets the goal line work, but Jaylen Warren's getting all the third downs, getting all of the 2-minute drill and things like that. I would be very surprised if Najee Harris ends up being a guy going in the first, 4 or 5 rounds of drafts next year. I think he's pretty much at this point, his closest comp is Trent Richardson. So I definitely do like adding Jaylen Warren. The Isaiah Pacheco thing is kind of bizarre. So he plays really well last week. Clyde Edwards-Helaire only plays 4 snaps, gets no carries. But according to reports, he had gotten banged up in practice. And they didn't activate Ronald Jones, so I thought that was weird. I thought it would make more sense to just make Clyde Edwards-Helaire a scratch and activate Ronald Jones. Of course, Ronald Jones asked for his release, was not granted it, so there's probably some animosity there between him and the coaches, right? Kind of like the Eno Benjamin thing, where Eno Benjamin was just cut basically for complaining about playing time. But would definitely add Pacheco this week in leagues where he's out there. But the number one ad of the week's got to be Rashad White, first career 100-yard game against the Seattle Seahawks. Just looks way better than Leonard Fournette. I mean, Leonard Fournette, we were just making fun of Najee Harris. Leonard Fournette might be the worst starting running back in the NFL. He really stinks, and he's got a hip injury. I've been saying this on this show for like 6 weeks in a row. The Buccaneers can be a good team. They can win this division. They can win. They can make the Super Bowl if they just go to what works, which is short throwing, playing fast, using Godwin, lots of pre-snap motion, and the coaches just won't do it. until they're staring down the barrel of a gun and they get it, they're trailing in the second half, and a Fournette injury gets them there. So I think Rashad White makes the offense better.
Yeah. By the way, with Benjamin going to Houston now, you know, obviously Pierce is there too. Arizona has Connor, and then what would the backup situation be there? Because that guy has needed a backup pretty much a lot of this year. So without Benjamin, who is there another option there?
Yeah, Keyonte Ingram, University of Texas running back. I actually think he's pretty solid, kind of drafted him a good little bit in the offseason. Darrell Williams is on the IR. You know, Benjamin is now a member of the Houston Texans. Jonathan Ward is the only other running back on the roster. He's like a career special teamer. So I think Ingram's actually a really strong add.
Okay, good for this week. All right, let's take a look at some of the wide receivers. And look, the Packers, you saw Aaron Rodgers throw to Christian Watson a ton. He's got to be the hot name in fantasy this week. Donovan Peoples-Jones coming off a nice week last week with Jacoby Brissett. He'll get Watson there eventually. Paris Campbell's been a little bit of a surprise lately. He's come on two of the last 4 weeks. And then Treylon Burks, maybe somebody cut him early on in a fantasy league, seems to be playing a little bit more. They take on the Packers on this weekend.
So, I mean, look, Christian Watson, if he's out there in your league and you got 56 of 100 left and your league allows $0 bids, you just got to, I mean, come on. 8 targets, 4 receptions, 103 yards, 3 touchdowns. And we did this, you know, we did this with Dobbs after his big game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and kind of middling results on that. And now he's out with the high ankle sprain. I mean, what logic would there be to leaving him out there? I mean, you might have a guy who's getting 3 deep targets a game from Aaron Rodgers, who, I mean, suddenly last week looks like he was, you know, rising from the dead after putting that performance against the Lions was so bad. And Watson has been really unlucky this year. He's been listed with 3 separate injuries. We talked about this on the show yesterday. He suffered, you know, from the Tua rule, where once you enter into a concussion check, you can't come back in the game, even if the independent neurologist clears you. Add Watson, add Burks, DPJ, like whatever, Paris Campbell, whatever. Sure. I mean, if you're having to start Paris Campbell, your fantasy team's probably just not that good.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's cap it off here with the tight end position. Now, I think there's a couple of options out there this week, Davis, that are going to get picked up. Foster Moreau did play quite a bit with Derek Carr last week, and when Waller's been out, Moreau's been okay. They go against Denver. Their defense is pretty good. How about Trey McBride with Zach Ertz out for the season against San Francisco? Isaiah Likely is back on the grid again with Andrews' injury, although Andrews, I think, will return this week against Carolina. And then Juwan Johnson, like, I don't think anybody's ever going to play this guy, Davis, fantasy, but every other week it seems like he scores a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, I think kind of the thing that feeds into that is when you're thinking about starting a New Orleans Saints tight end, you're like, why would I start Juwan Johnson when I could just use Taysom Hill, who's 6th in the NFL in tight end fantasy points? I mean, if Moreau is out there, I honestly view him similar to Christian Watson. Like, you just got to get him. How many tight ends would I start over Foster Moreau? Not that many. He literally plays 100% of the snaps with Darren Waller out. And McBride, I liked coming out of college, but he has the worst. No tight end in the NFL is worse than the snaps they've gotten in him in targets per route run, which means exactly what it sounds like, which is guy runs routes and cannot get open. So I definitely prefer Moreau to him.
All right, there you go. And that's the waiver wire for this week. We got to take a quick break here on the show. We'll go through the NBA daily fantasy schedule for you over on DraftKings, help you pick a squad for tonight. So grab the app, open it up. Give us a 2-minute break, and we'll be back right here on FST. So don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Are out tonight in the NBA, a 10-game slate on the Wednesday evening docket, and Davis and I are going to run through some of the pricing tonight, no doubt about that. Davis, we've got some of the big stars, and obviously with the game that Luka had yesterday. We did the preview of, basically go back and watch the video. Davis said, if Luka's on a slate, you basically have to figure out a way to play him. And my gosh, did he come up big in that exciting game against the Clippers yesterday?
I mean, just a casual 63 fantasy points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 35. This guy, he is unbelievable. Now, the dynamics of this slate tonight are different. We were talking about a 5-game slate last night. Now we're talking about second night of a back-to-back for Luka. God love him. And certainly me, as someone who does not have a peak athlete physique, I would hesitate to criticize him, but he is markedly worse on the second night of back-to-backs over the course of his career. Same thing for Nikola Jokic, actually, while we're here, which is probably the biggest storyline that we're going to talk about tonight. Bones Highland and Nikola Jokic are both in the health and safety protocols for the Denver Nuggets, so that's right. Two of their 8 top rotation players. That's going to be big. Pascal Siakam remains out for Toronto. That's pretty big. Donovan Mitchell is questionable. That's pretty big. Zion Williamson, questionable. And then Paolo Banchero out for the Atlanta Magic. So we do have plenty of guys tonight in the pricing. Like, if you really like Shea, if you really like Curry, whoever it is, I think a studs and duds approach tonight on DraftKings is likely optimal.
Yeah, I think I saw Sacramento put up 150 last night on Brooklyn. So we're going to need to pick through here to find out which team gives us the 150 tonight. I guess the coaching change hasn't really mattered all that much. All right, so here we go. Here's the pricing. And again, Luka, the odds-on favorite right now to win the NBA MVP. He is at 12,700 tonight, as Davis mentioned, on a back-to-back. We have Steph here at 10,500. Trae Young at 9,700. DeJounte Murray is at 9,600. SGA on OKC, 9,400. And then Tyrese Halliburton is 9,300 tonight.
So at the guard position, I mean, you really do have to make the decision. Are we going with Luka or are we not? And yesterday I said, you got to do it. And I think it'll depend a little bit on, Denver's starting lineup and how many of these questionable guys get ruled out. If a lot of these guys are on the wrong side of questionable, if we see Zion not playing, Bam Adebayo not playing, Wendell Carter Jr. not playing, like if there are 3 guys who are playable at 3,800 or lower, then sure, get Giannis in there, get Doncic in there, just play all your studs. I mean, Doncic is projected 12 points better than everyone else in the position, so he is really strong. Honestly, at their salaries, though, I prefer Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The highlight package that he is putting together at this stage in the season, like he is, I mean, trading Paul George away and getting 5 first-round picks and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander looking like one of the biggest highway robberies of recent NBA memory. I prefer Shai to Trae Young, prefer him to Devin Booker, although Booker is, I think, a pretty interesting play in that game against Golden State Warriors, who need to start winning some games here pretty soon. And then we just a couple quick value options. Bruce Brown going to start for the Nuggets, I think. Emmanuel Quickley up to about 25 minutes per game for the Knicks. Jamal Murray should see his minutes extended and his usage extended with no Nikola Jokic. He's probably going to be pretty popular on this slate. And then due to a bunch of injuries for the Charlotte Hornets, Theo Maledon right now, 3,300 on DraftKings, looks like a guy getting about 25 minutes. Probably not going to have to play him, assuming all of these guys come out on the wrong side of questionable, but an interesting name nonetheless.
All right, now let's move over to the forward pricing over on DK. Again, you can find all of this information, by the way, at dailyroto.com. Giannis is at 12,600 tonight for the Bucks. Jason Tatum, 10,900. Karl Anthony Towns is 9,100. Jimmy Butler, 9,000. Jaylen Brown, 8,700. And then Julius Randle, we got priced here tonight at 8,200.
Well, I mean, it does not take a data scientist to tell you that Giannis is a pretty good play here, but do think Luka is better. I mean, straight up, head-to-head, I would play, even at comparable ownership, I would definitely play Luka over Giannis. Tatum, getting a little pricey for me, although he has been incredible. I would prefer to play some of those other rotation guys for the Celtics over him. Karl Anthony Towns, not having the greatest year. The Minnesota Timberwolves, not having the greatest time. We talked about this at the beginning of the season. I remember one of these segments, I was like, I'm really anticipating Anthony Edwards getting better. I am anticipating Anthony Edwards shooting way more 3-pointers off the dribble, becoming a better playmaker, hasn't really happened. Kind of seems like maybe Rudy and Kat don't really like each other. Seems like Anthony Edwards is not really loving playing with two centers on offense, you know, talking to the media about not having enough space. You don't love to, you definitely do not love to see that. But there are, you know, there are plenty of guys here. We talked about the Denver Nuggets rotation. I mean, if Michael Porter Jr. gets to 35 minutes tonight, he's my favorite play of the slate. He is priced at 5,900. And Michael Porter Jr. is the archetype of, like, you know, the apex wing guy. He's super tall. He can put the ball on the floor. He can shoot all these threes. But he happens to play with maybe the best scoring center of, I don't know, like, I mean, Jokic is the most skilled big man of all time, probably. So he shoots a lot of threes. He hangs out on the perimeter. But Jokic is out tonight. Have to assume that Michael Porter Jr. is going to get plenty of shots up. Cam Reddish, value option for the Knicks, about 30 minutes a night there. Kevin Love has been playing a ton with some of these front court injuries for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tim Hardaway Jr., we talked about him last night, just kind of grinding on the edges for the Dallas Mavericks. And then my guy, Lou Dort and Alexei Pokusevski, they've been super wide. So Poku is so interesting. The guy can go out there and, like, miss every shot, turn the ball over four times and get benched by the Oklahoma City Thunder. But he is a really skillful guy. He's been in a couple of first place lineups over on DraftKings already this year because he's got a really high ceiling for about 5,000.
All right, fair enough. By the way, did you see that video of Anthony Edwards? I'm sure you did. Throwing it to, was it Carl Anthony Towns out of bounds? Was that the video that I saw?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Not great. Not good scenes there in Minnesota. Does not it seems like kind of everyone involved is maybe regretting all sides of that transaction.
I think so. All right, let's go now to the big men here. Now, obviously with Jokic in health and safety protocol, we don't know if he's going to play tonight, but he is priced at 11,600. He is out.
Jokic is in health and safety protocols tonight.
Okay, so he is out. Giannis, 12,600. Carl Anthony Towns, 9,100. Kristaps Porzingis, 8,400. Bam Adebayo, 8,200. And Wendell Carter Jr. is 7,800.
So probably the number one thing that people are going to have to decide on this slate is, am I going to play DeAndre Jordan in the place of Nikola Jokic? And you know what? I vote no. Even for 3,300, I just really don't think I could do it. I honestly think probably, and specifically in the context of this matchup against the Knicks, it's not as if these big, bulky centers, you know, Mitchell Robinson against whoever is guarding him on the Nuggets is not a mismatch. Isaiah Hartenstein versus Michael Porter Jr. or, I mean, even Bruce Brown. What is Isaiah Hartenstein going to do? Back down Bruce Brown in the post? Like, that's just not the way NBA teams run their offense. So DeAndre Jordan, going to be one of the most popular plays of the slate, priced at 3,300 with Jokic out. I'll be a little bit tempted to play him depending on if he ends up starting or not. Also, would not surprise me to see him not start. You know, if they just go with a small ball lineup against the Knicks, that really would not be that surprising. So do what you got to do there. I just kind of played both sides of the court there. I would lean towards not playing him, but he is going to be one of the most popular players up tonight. So, I mean, and one of the reasons why I would not be that in on playing him is some of the best, combination of projected points and projected ownership of the slate guys are there at center. I mean, Miles Turner against Charlotte, he's been crushing. We got, maybe some of these Orlando centers end up being playable. If Banchero's out and Wendell Carter Jr. are out, I mean, that we're going to have minimum price guys available at center for the Atlanta Magic. I really like Christian Wood in this revenge spot against the Houston Rockets, getting to play up against his old team with Luka on the second night of a back-to-back. And Evan Mobley going to be really needed tonight against Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis, of course.
Let me end with this. Also, in addition to that, I saw Shams' report on Ben Simmons. What is there anything left to say here at this point? What is going to happen here with Ben Simmons?
I mean, I guess it just kind of depends on the direction of the franchise. No one would take him, and he's got a huge salary, and you can't cut him. Like, I would assume they're just going to have to try and work through it, unless Kevin Durant ends up saying, and it kind of seems all good right now with Durant, but if Durant ends up saying, like, I'm not doing this, I'm not playing, I'm holding out, or you got to trade me or whatever, trade me for Cam Johnson and a second-round pick, I don't care. What the Nets would do in that spot was they would say, you got to take Simmons' salary. You got to get this guy off our books, and then the Nets start the rebuild, you know, all over again. What do they do with Kyrie Irving's salary in that spot? What a mess. Brooklyn Nets, biggest mess in the NBA. How thankful are the Los Angeles Lakers for the Brooklyn Nets that someone else is a bigger mess than them at this point?
Yeah, I don't ever remember seeing anything like this before, where so many players don't play or can't play and the coach is fired, and good franchise too in Brooklyn. You would think that they would be run the right way. All right, we'll take a quick break here on the show. Coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality in the Sports Grid 60. We'll hit the Major League Baseball hot stove, so stay on the grid for that. And also don't forget, I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. Also, the early line is coming up next. So stay on the grid. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. If you want to follow us on Twitter, here is how you do it, at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread. Great giveaways coming as well, I should mention, over on our Twitter handles. I'll be handling some of those, so make sure you stay tuned to that. Again, that's at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. All right, well, it's award season, Davis, in Major League Baseball. You know, we had the appetizers, the rookies of the year. We had the managers of the year last night. We've got the Cy Young Award coming up next, and then the MVPs in Major League Baseball. So those are the big ones. Who do you got tonight to win the American League and National League Cy Young Award? I think the NL is a slam dunk. What about the AL?
Yeah, I'm just gonna go with the betting markets here. The books that have it still out there have Justin Verlander at, you know, -9 trillion or whatever. And this one did kind of go down to the end. I mean, as recently as July 31st, McClanahan was the favorite. Then it was a 2-horse race between Verlander and Cease. If I remember correctly, Verlander got like injured at some point and had to skip a couple starts. Yeah. Was it? Yeah, so he skipped a couple starts, but I think Cease kind of got beat up a little bit towards the end, and then it just ended up being Verlander. It really was not all that contentious in the National League. So what happened is that, you know, basically in July, Alcantara just kept having these incredible starts, and everyone was like, oh, maybe it's Urias, maybe it's Zach Gallen, maybe it's maybe it's Max Fried, maybe it's Aaron Nola, and with a month left in the season, Alcantara was like -500 and no one. He would have had to have gotten beat up. You know, he would have had to have gotten his ERA up like a full run, I think, at that point to not win.
Yeah, not a lot of drama, I don't think, tonight, but we will see. I'm looking forward to catching that one both on television and in person tonight, especially for the National League Cy Young Award. All right, now it's time for us to dive into some more fun topics. Here is fantasy or reality. Well, baseball's hot stove is off to a warm start, Davis. We have had a few moves at least, like not zero. So at least we've had Rizzo signing. We had this trade with Teoscar Hernandez. Yesterday was get your 40-man all set. We got the non-tender day coming up here on Friday for arbitration. So, you know, some forced deadlines making things happen. One of the key signings thus far has been Tyler Anderson, who was sort of a very anonymous major league pitcher. Gets over to the Dodgers factory, Davis. What happens? All of a sudden, he's like in the Cy Young Award conversation. He parlays that and gets himself a new contract across the way in Anaheim with the Los Angeles Angels, We know the Angels have struggled to get their starting pitching straight. Noah Syndergaard was their key signing last year. Fantasy or reality, Tyler Anderson Davis will be the Angels' number one starter. We're here on November 16th. I feel like they still have 2 months to go, but will they do anything? Fantasy or reality?
Is this the easiest fantasy in fantasy reality history? The Angels already have a number one starter. His name is Shohei Ohtani, multiple-time top five finisher in Cy Young voting, sub-3 ERA, strikeout rate above 25%, lefty, dominant. I mean, it's Ohtani. The Angels have already said they're not trading him. I guess what could happen in this conversation is someone could overwhelm them, someone could give them a bunch of cash. But who is doing it? I mean, I've been saying I want the Dodgers to do it or want the Yankees to do it. I still want that to happen. I mean, get this guy out of, the awful the Angels, man. Get Trout out of there, too. But, yeah, I mean, Tyler Anderson's not even good. Like, Tyler Anderson got good results last season for the Dodgers, mostly in terms of win-losses. If you look at some of his peripheral stuff, was getting lucky with home run to fly ball, was getting lucky with ground ball, batting average on balls in play. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say he's not good. You're right. He's anonymous. He's fine. Tyler Anderson is a fine major league starting pitcher, but certainly not an ace. So I got clear fantasy here.
Yeah, I think that the Angels will bring in two starters. So I think whoever they get could even be above Anderson. And Davis is right. Ohtani could be the first. What's interesting is Ohtani, you never know, I suppose, there's that chance that they wouldn't start Ohtani opening day. I suppose that chance exists for the Angels, but I'm not really sure. Also, this team is for sale, so it is sort of perplexing that they would do they would make moves not knowing who the new ownership is going to be. Even the Angels is a very complicated situation, but I have fantasy as well. I think Anderson ends up pitching for a long time. They keep trying these guys. They tried Andrew Heaney. They tried Noah Syndergaard. Reed Detmers threw a no-hitter. I mean, I guess that they could try him at the top of the rotation. But fantasy for me. And good contract for Tyler Anderson, though. Congrats, man. Like, this guy was, just toiling for sure. In Milwaukee. Now all of a sudden, or Pittsburgh, I think. And now all of a sudden, getting paid. So good job by him. Good job by the Dodgers. They have a pitching factory there for sure. All right. XFL. Oh, my gosh. We're doing this again. XFL. Back again. Another alternate football league. A.J. McCarron is in this thing. He's involved in the draft. Ben DiNucci, remember him? The backup to the backup to the backup with the Dallas Cowboys. He's in the draft as well. Fantasy reality, Davis. I know that you're going to go one way and I'm going to go the other. This is the easiest one on the board. You will watch the newest version of the XFL. Fantasy reality.
Yeah, I mean, I will watch a little bit of this. To begin with, the XFL quality was, when it existed, it was better than the USFL. The USFL was super, like, old school coaches. Jeff Fisher was involved. Teams were just running. It really was not watchable. I watched, like, about 17 minutes of it. The XFL, they had Hal Mumme. They had Bob Stoops. They had guys who you would, actually recognize. A bunch of the guys from the XFL play in the NFL. Donald Parham of the Chargers, P.J. Walker, starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, Cam Phillips, and a good number of defensive players. And we got a franchise here in St. Louis. I will I'll be there for the home opener. Now, I mean, I will be Bayesian with this process. If it is closer in quality to the USFL, and these teams are just running the ball, and it's just a truly inferior version, then no, I'm not going to watch it. But I guess I will say for sure I can guarantee I will at least be at the St. Louis Battlehawks home opener. No doubt about that.
Yeah, this is a big fantasy for me. And again, this has been pushed on me so many times. The good news here is at SportsGrid, this is like the one place that I've worked where nobody's like forced me to promote and talk about the alternate football leagues. I just don't know. I feel like, and again, I'm not rooting against them, but the track record is so poor for all of these leagues, these minor league football leagues. They collapse, they fail, and I'm just not having it. I mean, I could barely wrap my arms around, anything other than the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball. I mean, college basketball, too. I do want to say I love college basketball, too. So it's hard for me to wrap myself around any of these. So the odds of me having this are none. I don't know anyone in the league, and so this is not even a personal thing for me. But I don't wish it failure. I wish one of these things would succeed because the NFL could use some minor league football. but they don't.
Yeah, imagine if Malik Willis, instead of sitting on the bench right now for the Tennessee Titans, could go get a bunch of live reps in where he doesn't know what's, you know, like, I just, it, and obviously there's some relationship between the NCAA and the NFL, but it would be huge to have like an actual developmental league succeed, I think.
Agreed. Yeah, Jordan Love would be another one too. Like to see him play also, but no, this never happens. All right, so Taylor Swift is going on tour, and it's a Legacy Tour or something like that, or Legends Tour. I don't know. She's playing all of her greatest hits. That's the deal. And playing in stadiums all across the country. Now, Davis and I talked about this a little bit yesterday or the day before on the show. I can't even keep up with these days. And selling out virtually every single stadium she plays in on multiple dates, too, at these stadiums. So these are places, these football stadiums and some baseball, that hold 60, 70,000 people playing three dates at a time. I'm going to guess this is going to be the most lucrative tour in a long time in the United States. I don't know what those numbers would look like elsewhere or other tours, but this does feel like the first of its kind for a while. Fantasy or reality, you spent, meaning Davis did, or I did, the entire day Monday on Ticketmaster trying to get your hands on Taylor Swift tickets.
The whole day. So starts at 10 a.m. Central. You know, I got the pre-sale code. I get it on my phone. I message it to myself. I get it pulled up on my computer. You know, I'm monitoring it in the background of my show. You know, all these gambling chats I'm in. Some people want to go. Some people want to buy the tickets so that they can resale the tickets for way higher. I mean, obviously the resale value of these tickets is insane. If you were able to get through and you bought the maximum amount that you got allotted for, which was six, you could have immediately sold them for, I don't know, three times what you paid, probably even more than that if you were able to get like a VIP ticket or something like that. I didn't even want to do that. I didn't even want to, you know, I didn't want to scam Ticketmaster. Well, actually, Ticketmaster is the real scammer. I didn't want to scam other people. I mean, and you know, Ticketmaster is so corrupt with all of this. They let bot accounts get in and get through. It is the worst. Like, Anyone who is mad at the artists for all this stuff, like, no, the artists are not at fault. It's all Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is one of the worst companies that operates in the United States. It's really criminal what they do. But yeah, I mean, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. My sister-in-law gets through, gets us seats for the date we wanted to go to. Transaction fails, doesn't get through, sends her back. Wow. I mean, just a true F-minus experience. Gonna get price gouged on secondary. Just really, and again, not Taylor Swift's fault, not the artist's fault. Ticketmaster wants this. This is what you get when monopolies are run. The product experience just stinks for the consumer.
Yeah. I remember a day, I feel old, that I used to be able to go onto Ticketmaster and buy tickets for an event. Simply, you just get your tickets and you buy your tickets. If you wanted really good tickets, you had to get them through the secondary market. That's always existed. But now Ticketmaster is the secondary market. You're like logging back in and the prices are double somehow. And it's like resellers on Ticketmaster. The whole thing is so bizarre. Now, personally, this is fantasy for me. I did not spend all day doing this. My wife did spend all day doing this and did end up getting really good seats for it after like fighting and trying and the same experience as you, getting kicked out, kicked in, kicked out, kicked in. Ended up getting tickets for one of the shows in Tampa. But the good news for me, Davis, is that she got two tickets. So her and my daughter go, and I'm out. I'm not going to be going to see Taylor Swift.
You're missing out, Taylor, man. She's incredible. I'm telling you.
I'm sure.
Oh, the drive.
Four-hour drive to Tampa. Not doing it. I don't know why she's not playing in South Florida. I don't get that at all. And I'm hoping she doesn't at this point, because I would be devastated to think that I'm going to be dropping hotel money and all this on this. Regardless of that, fantasy for me, I was not on there, and I will not be seeing Taylor Swift. But we do have concert tickets for so many other concerts. I like told my wife, we have to stop buying these tickets. Like, what kind of budget do we have? Like, every show that comes in, oh, we got to go. Boom, buy the tickets. Crazy. Can't do it anymore. All right, we got to take a quick break here on the show. Coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. So stay on the grid for that, and we'll be back to wrap up the show. We got the early line coming up next. Newswire at 2 o'clock Eastern, and then Scotty Farrell coast to coast carrying you through all the NBA games tonight. If we have any breaking news for you, we'll give you that as well. So stay on the grid as we come back and wrap it up. Davis Maddock, Craig Mish, every day, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Stay on the grid. We're back right after these messages.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll have Thursday Night Football back tomorrow, so make sure you tune into the show. We'll give you a preview. Should be a good game, by the way, Titans and Packers. Let's turn it over to Davis, see what's on his mind as we wrap up here on this Wednesday. Here is today's Sports Grid at 60.
So obviously the total capitulation of FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried is not really a sports story. But actually, it kind of is, because FTX became the sponsor of the Miami Heat Arena. Crypto.com bought, the naming rights to the Los Angeles Lakers Arena. And, these teams are touching sports organizations literally across the entire globe, sponsor of esports tournaments and things. And I don't ever really recall seeing a sponsor's logo removed from a stadium overnight. Because that's what happened. The Miami Heat, they sent a bunch of guys up to the roof and they scraped all the FTX branding off the entire building pretty much overnight. I cannot recall anything like that happening in my lifetime. I guess we would have seen it if, Enron was the naming rights sponsor right to the Los Angeles Rams or something, but really wild stuff to see.
Yeah, and the other thing too is no one seems to have an understanding. I saw somebody tweet out that somebody lost their salary because they took it in Bitcoin and it was maybe on the FTX exchange, not understanding that Bitcoin is separate from FTX, is just an exchange. It has nothing to do with that. I don't know. I don't think people fully understand this for sure. All right. I wanted to end the show, very clearly with what I think is the most compelling story going on in sports, which is the college football playoff. We have Georgia this week at Kentucky. We know they're going to win. Do we really have to wait one more week for this Ohio State-Michigan game? It probably won't be a great game. Last year, I don't think anything is going to happen last year. But the bottom line is this. That's going to determine who is going to be in the college football playoff. We still got to wait until the day after Thanksgiving. 1 week from Thanksgiving is tomorrow. We got here, folks. That'll do it for our show. I want to thank, of course, all our friends at LTN, our producer, Michael, and, of course, our executive producer, Brett Lee. I'm Craig Mitch, along with Davis Maddock. See you tomorrow.